home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Friday, and it's a holiday Friday, so you get to finish your work week today. Some of you may be getting the day off, I'm not sure. I know that there are some companies that if, you know, a holiday falls on the weekend, congratulations, you get to work your regular schedule. If not, celebrate. However you choose to do this weekend, do be safe out there. I hope that as you are making your plans for the weekend, that you are making plans to be in the house of the Lord. This year, 2026, I've been sick a number of times on Sunday morning, and it's not, believe me, it's not by choice. Just got hit by a number of different things and didn't enjoy any of them. And we're blessed. We live stream our services. Right now, there's something glitchy that happens with the Facebook feed from time to time, where it likes to buffer, and I don't know what's going on, because we also use the same provider to stream onto YouTube, and the YouTube doesn't glitch, the Facebook does. So we've been pointing people more in the direction of the YouTube channel if they're watching it live. It doesn't seem to glitch during the replay of it, but I've watched services a number of times because I was not well enough to be there, and I'm thankful for that technology that makes it possible when being in attendance isn't possible. But I will tell you that from my experience, it's not the same. You get all of the same thing, but you do not get the blessing that comes from rubbing shoulder to shoulder and having conversations with other believers about what's gone on in their week. You know, what's been victorious, what they've been facing. There is something when believers gather together. Jesus said, when you do that, I'm there in the midst of you. And so I would highly encourage you, make sure you take advantage of the religious freedom that we have here in America to assemble together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't neglect the freedom. Don't abuse the freedom. Celebrate the freedom. Use the freedom and enjoy the benefits of that. So anyway, happy 250th birthday, America. And so we're going to go to John 15 today, John, the 15th chapter. Going to begin reading in verse number 9. We'll read on down to verse number 17. That ought to give us plenty of material to cover in this 30-minute program here. Here Jesus says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love if you keep my commandments, and you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I want to start off today by drawing your attention to verse number 9 and 10. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. And in verse number 10, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. You and I are supposed to love in an exemplary manner, to encourage others to have an abiding love as well. And, you know, like I said before on this program, people are watching. Kids are watching. It was so enjoyable for me as a grandparent to watch when one of my grandchildren was growing up and he was watching his father, and he would do everything at that stage in his life. He would do everything like his father did. So he wanted to dress like his father. He had his hair like his father. But the cutest observation was at some point in time, he had a battery-powered vehicle, one of those toys. And my son loves to back his vehicle into a parking place, has to do with his life experiences. And so if you go out to eat, he's going to want to sit in a very specific spot. And when he parks his vehicle, he always backs into the parking spot so that he has, you know, maneuverability should he need it. It's a lot easier to drive forward than it is to drive backwards. And so they buy my grandson, or someone bought my grandson, one of these battery-powered toys, and there was a little area that was about the right size for a parking spot. And we look out there, and there he is backing the vehicle into the parking spot. Not only doing that, but doing it in exactly the same physical position. His hands and his arm were in the same position. His neck was turned exactly the same way. He had seen an example, and as a child, he wanted to follow his father's example. And so that's the way we should love. Unfortunately, many times in our society, we teach sin by example instead of love. So that's not something that we want to do. Because the people who are watching your positive lessons, they may also be watching you when you are less than stellar in your day-to-day conduct. And, you know, the old expression, do as I say, not as I do, that does not apply. The people who observe you, will tend to do the things that they see you do. So, abide in love and encourage and love by example. And again, it's more than lip service. It has to do with the way that you treat people. It has the way that you conduct yourself when no one else is around. You love in a practical way, not just a theoretical way. So that is what is supposed to be on display in the lives of believers. So here a little over a week ago, I had a funeral to do. Was a lady in our church, and she had been in a care facility for a number of years. She was a very gifted musician. She was gifted in a lot of different areas. After she passed away, I was reminded of some things I'd heard before, but I also learned some things that I did not know about her. And in the number of years that she was in the care facility, and I've told her husband this a number of times, and that is, with the excellence of care that he provided for her, the oversight that he provided for her, she probably lived a lot longer than she would have had he not provided that oversight. And by caring for her and spending time with her hours a day, every day, and you know, not a whole lot in the ability to communicate back and forth, but he demonstrated and walked out a love that he had professed decades earlier. And he kept that up right until the day of her departure into her eternal reward. And that man is such an inspiration, not just to me, but it's something that a number of people have mentioned, because he lived out his covenant love in an exemplary way for years. And I pray that we love our families the same way that he was able to demonstrate that, not just only to church people, not only to people who were friends and acquaintances, but to the people in the care centers that took care of his bride for a number of years. It goes on here, and it says in verse number 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Love creates, through its abiding love, it creates a condition of abundant joy. So I could sit here right now, and if I allowed my mind to wander, which sometimes my mind wanders whether I allow it to or not, but if I would allow my mind to wander over the decades that my wife and I have been married, I could visit several occasions of abundant joy that words could not express. Sometimes words weren't even spoken. They were just a look on the face, an expression that my wife gets that is satisfaction for completing a task that she worked very hard on. So earlier this year, they managed to pull off a surprise birthday party for me. And the surprise was, it wasn't my birthday. we were not going to be with our family and friends on my birthday because we went on a vacation. And so after that one, I said, you know, I must be slipping because y'all are managing to pull off these surprises where I have no clue with greater frequency. And that used to never happen. But I do know this, that Christians should be the most joy-filled people on the planet. I told our congregation here a couple of weeks ago, I said, I want you to think back with me 250 years to the founding of America and look at the conditions in which they lived and look at the conditions now and the things that were worrisome to them. Do you think that that life is better now or then? I mean, now we have air conditioning, we have automobiles, we have airplanes. Did I mention we have air conditioning? We have running water, we have grocery stores, we have telephones and televisions and internet and things like that. Those things did not exist. The quality of life now from an earthly standpoint is markedly improved from where the beginning of our country was. And then I ask this, what do you think your future will be like 250 years from now? And I first of all, I pray I'm not still alive. You know, everybody wants to live and forever and ever. Look, I want to live as long as God wants me to live. I want to live as long as I can be fruitful. But I if all I'm able to do is sit in a chair and not do anything productive, I wouldn't want to be here 250. But 250 years from now, if I'm around the throne of Jesus and I'm worshiping him and I'm basking in the presence of Almighty God in a sinless environment, in a perfect environment, that's dramatically different and better than what we deal with now. And so the moment that you may be living in may be unpleasant, but as believers, the future that we have in the presence of Jesus and his eternal unfailing love is one that is filled with great joy. If we drop back to verse number 10, if you keep my commandments and will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Love pursues a unified action. It's an abiding love is not a divided love. And that's something that it's hard for people to grasp here in 2026. The body of Christ is supposed to be united, not divided. A divided house cannot stand. That's what Jesus said. He was specifically talking about the kingdom of darkness, but it is true for any country. It is true for any home. It is true for any church. It is absolutely imperative that we, because of the abiding love that we have for one another, have a united agenda that we are pursuing, and everybody is acting on the same page. if we are constantly playing tug of war with one another's vision, that's a problem. Now, here is what I have told our congregation about unity. Unity is not you thinking exactly like me. Unity is also not me thinking exactly like you. Those two definitions are the definitions that the world wants to propagate. And so whenever you see political dynamics at place and the party is in power, and both parties have been in power throughout my life, vacillating back and forth, and the party that's in power will say, hey, you've got to think exactly like I do. And then the party that's not in power says, well, if you want anything done, you've got to modify your thinking to where you think exactly like that. That's the worldly perspective of unity. Here's God's perspective of unity. Not me thinking like you, not you thinking like me, but both of us thinking like God and acting accordingly. There's an example in agriculture from years gone by of how much weight could a workhorse, not the racing horses or just your average quarter horse or whatever, but a workhorse, a draft horse, one a substantial animal that you would not want to get in between that animal and a fence post. They're large animals, and they know exactly how much one animal can pull by itself. But when they team that animal up with another animal, that both animals combined can pull more weight together than either one of them could have pulled individually combined. And so if one horse could pull 1,000 pounds, the other horse could pull 800, that individually they would pull 1,800 pounds, but together they may be able to pull 2,000 pounds. And so whenever the body of Christ is of one mind and one accord, and we're acting in love, whether it is an action or the words that we speak, there are wonderful things that can happen. That's supposed to be a characteristic of the body of Christ. In fact, in verse number 12, and again in verse number 17, it says this: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And in verse number 17, it says, as soon as I find where verse number, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Loving one another is the mark of distinction. It is a non-negotiable. It is something here that it says in verse number 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. As you have been a recipient, you also become a distributor. As you have benefited from, you also become a practitioner of that love. It is not optional. Jesus said it is a commandment. It is a commandment in verse number 12, and it is a commandment in verse number 17. And I will say this: Jesus does not give us commandments to do that he will not empower us by his Spirit and by his grace to be able to fulfill. The thing that I keep hearing in worldly relationships that they're dissolving is, well, we have irreconcilable differences. Those terms should not be compatible with the lives of believers. Well, we grew apart. Well, grow together. I believe that we are supposed to be practitioners of God's love. It is supposed to be the mark of distinction. So there is a term that is used in the Bible, and it's called love feasts. And the word there is agape. So early Christians, their gatherings were known as love feasts, where when they came together, they realized the value that God had placed inside of the body of Christ, that they recognized they needed one another. They were living in a time when there were not that many believers, and all of a sudden the number of believers began to increase, and they realized that that Barnabas needed Saul, who became Paul. And at one point in time, Paul didn't think he needed John Mark, but Barnabas recognized that there was value in John Mark. Later on in Paul's life, he recognized that there was value in John Mark. He's the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. Tradition has it that he got his material from Peter, but Paul said, I need you to send John Mark to me. He recognized later on in life that there was a need in the body of Christ for one another. We as churches are not in competition with one another. We're supposed to be in cooperation with one another. The enemy isn't the church down the street. The enemy is the one who is trying to steal, kill, and destroy the lives of people that Jesus died to save. Now, the world says, you know, love has no standards or anything. That's not godly love. They want to try and redefine love and all that sort of stuff. What I'm talking about for believers is that we have a love for God that comes from God. It's a godly love that loves the commandments of God, embraces the words of God, and says, I love you so much, I'm going to live this out in front of you. Even if you don't like me for a moment, I'm still going to live this love in your presence, because one day you're going to understand how valuable this is. So have a marvelous 4th of July weekend. I hope you get together together and worship with other believers. Remember that you have the blessing of joy because of the love of Jesus. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.